ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। स्वराट् पुत्रं विनयिनम् आत्मनः सुसमङ्गुणैः तोयनी व्यापतिं भूमे अभ्यषिञ्चद्गजाह्वये Translation. Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapur, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all land bordered by the seas. Purport. The total land on the earth bordered by the seas was under the subjugation of the king of Hastinapur. Maharaj Yudhishthira trained his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, who was equally qualified in state administration in terms of the king's obligation to the citizens. Thus, Parikshit was enthroned on the seat of Maharaj Yudhishthira prior to his departure back to Godhead. Concerning Maharaj Parikshit, the specific word used, Vinayanam, is Vinayanam, Vinayanam, is significant. Why was the king of Hastinapur, at least till the time of Maharaj Parikshit, accepted as the emperor of the world? The only reason is that the people of the world were happy because of the good administration of the emperor. The happiness of the citizens was due to the ample production of natural produce such as grains, fruits, milk, herbs, valuable stones, minerals, and everything that the people needed. They were even free from all bodily miseries, anxieties of mind, and disturbances caused by natural phenomena and other living beings. Because everyone was happy in all respects, there was no resentment. Although there were sometimes battles between the state kings for political reasons and supremacy. Everyone was trained to attain the highest goal of life, and therefore the people were also enlightened enough not to quarrel over trivialities. The influence of the age of Kali gradually infiltrated the good qualities of both the kings and the citizens, and therefore a tense situation developed between the ruler and the ruled. But still, even in this age of disparity between the ruler and the ruled, there can be spiritual emolument and Krishna and God consciousness. That is a spiritual prerogative. Especially in this latter part of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada has given a lot of commentary concerning the position of the king, which might seem superfluous because there are no kings anymore. There are some in name only. The last king resembling a king was the king of Nepal, but he's also no longer got that power. The king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narang, what is that? Narasacharasmi Naradhipam. He is the representative. There must be some leader in society. Srila Prabhupada, he commented so much on the position of the king. His idea was to give guidance to the leaders of society. He had this, you could say, extraordinarily ambitious plan that society should be organized in the way that it was under great kings like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. We find in Bhagavatam there must be some leader in society. Srila Prabhupada, he commented so much on the position of the king, his idea was to give guidance to the leaders of society. He had this, you could say, extraordinarily ambitious plan that society should be organized in the way that it was under great kings like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Pritu Maharaj. We find in Bhagavatam the descriptions of several great devotees, almost all kings. So Prabhupada was giving these guidelines and contrasting with the situation in the modern age, which is described in or predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Predicted means it was written down 5,000 years ago. At that time, that wasn't the situation, but now we see it is the situation. Prajas te bhakshi ishanti mlecha rajanya rupinaha. It is predicted that the kings, far from protecting the citizens and nourishing them materially, religiously, and spiritually, they practically devour them, they exploit them. The kings, they're no longer trained, godly aristocrats, but they are simply low-class meat-eaters interested in exploiting the citizens. It seems that, at least in my experience, in America more than in other countries, the devotees, they discuss which is better for us, which is better, Republican or Democrat. Well, in India also, I think mostly the devotees, they favor BJP, Bharatiya Janata Party, because even though they're a bunch of politicians, but they have some idea of upholding what is called Hindu culture. But a very interesting article came in Back to Godhead quite a few years ago now, I think more than 15 years ago, by our godbrother Sureshra Prabhu in his unique, humorous, ironic style. He was looking after the cows at that time at Gita Nagari. So in the article, he had a conversation with the cows about who to vote for. And they said, don't vote for any of them because they're all going to kill us. You know, in the name of human rights, they're talking about human rights, but they never think about... Actually, now there is there has been for some time what they call animal rights also. But the politicians, they're interested in votes. They can change their policies according to the votes. They can even make a terrible future. Modern politicians can enact policies that will make a very bad future for the country, just so it makes them look good now. They'll make huge loans from the World Bank or whatever, and it makes them look good, and in many cases they stick the money in their own pockets, or they get a secret payback from the World Bank, they get a payback in their Swiss bank accounts. But the borrowing, although it makes the country look good immediately, but it puts the country in debt forever. It makes them a vassal nation to the World Bank. So anyway, there are so many things. There are so many things discussed. Conspiracy theories, this, that, and the other. There are so many conspiracy theories. Jewish conspiracy. And this could be... Well, are there conspiracies? Yes. I would say there are conspiracies to exploit the citizens. To the extent that it is made out, I don't know, but there's always some, in Kali Yuga, there's always some whether you call it conspiracy or not, some political machinations to put certain persons in power and keep other people down. And if you take out all the conspirator, all the people in power now, you'll replace them with another set of useless people. So what's the point? There's not much point in getting all excited about politics. You have to remove these people, they're so bad. And because who else is going to come in? They're all, none of them know the goal of life. None of them even know the basic principles of civilized life, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. All of them are sinful people. So unless there are persons who are actually trained to know what is the purpose of life and how life should be lived, then there's very little point in getting all worked up about whether Democrats should come or Republicans should come or this, that, or the other should come. See, the Republicans, they at least theoretically are anti-abortion, although they never seem to do anything about it. They just talk about how they don't like abortion. And theoretically, therefore, you know, they want to make family life strong, and they believe in religion and all this. Although if they really got strong, the further right wing of them, they like religion, but their version of it, and they'd snuff us out. They wouldn't give much facility to the Hare Krishna movement. So that looks good. But on the other hand, they'll wreck the environment, and they'll, you know, they say protect the babies in the womb, but they'll kill all, they're for slaughterhouses and kill the whales, kill the seals. And whereas the Democrats, they're more liberal, they'll let us exist, but they're the ones also who promote homosexuality and homosexual marriages and this and that and the other. So what's better, to have Hare Krishna movement allowed and homosexuality also allowed? Well, the Republicans aren't going to stop us either. I mean, they're not that extreme so far. Protect the babies in the womb, but they'll kill all, they're for slaughterhouses and kill the whales, kill the seals. And whereas the Democrats, they're more liberal, they'll let us exist, but they're the ones also who promote homosexuality and homosexual marriages and this and that and the other. So what's better, to have Hare Krishna movement allowed and homosexuality also allowed? Well, the Republicans aren't going to stop us either. I mean, they're not that extreme so far. Anyway, I don't want to get into talking about politics too much, but the point is that without knowledge of the goal of life, we can't expect any good rulership. And the whole system of democracy, that all foolish people, they vote, Prabhupada called it demon crazy. People, they don't know, they're not qualified, they don't know what the issues are, they can't understand the complex issues. And they're voting. You see, a lawyer or a professor of economics, people have some idea of the political issues, they have one vote. And someone, you know, who's a drug pusher who didn't get caught, he also has one vote. I think even if they're caught and stuck in prison, they're allowed to vote, is it or not? Prisoners are allowed to vote? Yeah, I mean, someone who's just a complete criminal and uneducated, or they have the same say as someone who's what could be called a law-abiding citizen who's well-educated. So isn't that And the number of educated persons who have some grasp of the issues is very small compared to the number of people who, they have no idea. They're just someone, they have the idea that they'll support, they'll help our group. And in India, democracy means that it's just all the lowest class of people. They are, because they have the biggest number base, so they are pandered to. It's a very strange situation in India where in the name of minority rights, the Hindus, they have less rights than the than the Muslims and the Christians and everyone else. The money is taken from Hindu temples to send people on pilgrimage, the Muslims, and to build mosques and churches. And if a Christian wants to open a school in Tamil Nadu, they get government funding and so many grants, and Hindus don't at all. So it's a very strange. Why is that? Because for votes. Because they think anyway we'll get the Hindu vote, but we'll give special rights to the lower classes. And then when they get in power, they spend huge amounts of money to get in power for their election campaigns. And then they have to make the money back when they get in position by corruption. So democracy in India at least has fostered corruption. And it's more subtle in these countries, but practically you can see the governments are, the big countries of the world, they're run by the multinational corporations, practically, and the oil companies and all this. Just like this war in Iraq, in the name of humanity and justice and all this, it's for oil, everyone knows. Otherwise, what do they care about? The justice in Iraq. So there's so much hypocrisy. That's why I often say that Hitler was better than Bush. Because at least he said that we're jerks and we think we're superior and just invade all the other countries. But in the modern time, you say in the name of humanity and justice, you do the same thing. For your own political interests, you just declare war on people, and in the name of humanity and justice, you bomb people to pieces. This is a gift from America to help you. It's a nice bomb to blow you to pieces. So stupid policies, actually, because the people of those countries, they're going to hate America for generations. It goes like that for generations. It's like in Ireland, the Protestants and Catholics, there was a battle in 1600 and something, and they're still fighting over it. People have long memories on these issues, and because of Dehatma Buddhi, considering the body to be the self, they identify, I'm a Catholic, that's a Protestant. It goes very deep, and it goes on generation by generation. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to introduce this enlightened dictatorship, actually. The French philosopher Voltaire, he had a little common sense. He said that's the best system of governance. But the point is, they say that power, in the modern age, they don't like this idea that there should be one ruler, because they say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But why didn't it corrupt Yudhishthira Maharaj and so many great kings? Why is that? They didn't become corrupt. If power corrupts, then why didn't Yudhishthira become corrupt? The actual matter is that the seed of corruption is in the heart, and if you're given the opportunity, that you take advantage. But one who is trained, who is of pure heart, then even if they get the opportunity to exploit others, they don't, because they have a higher motive. That's why we often see that people talk about equal rights and liberality as long as they're on the underside. But when they get into power, they become the worst dictator themselves. I mean, we see that in not only in countries, the leaders of countries, but even in our own movement, sometimes you see devotees who are But one who is trained, who is of pure heart, then even if they get the opportunity to exploit others, they don't, because they have a higher motive. That's why we often see that people talk about equal rights and liberality as long as they're on the underside. But when they get into power, they become the worst dictator themselves. I mean, we see that in not only in countries, the leaders of countries, but even in our own movement, sometimes you see devotees who are this leader's no good, you've got to throw them out, and then they become the leader, and they become worse than the same faults in the previous leader, they have they're worse still. So what is the solution? What's the solution to anything and everything in the material world is Krishna consciousness. Without that, then so many problems. There's no end to it. It's, you know, you try to make a... There are so many organizations which are trying to improve human society and even animal society. They have societies for the welfare of animals, and they have looking after the children and cancer research and Greenpeace. And I mean, how many organizations are there that are trying to improve the human or the global situation in there must be thousands of organizations, all with different agendas to try to make life better. But even if, say for instance, you make a better situation for the dogs, let's make animals, let's do something for the animals. So they have in some states a rule, I heard in America, that you're not allowed to own a dog unless there's someone at home all day to give the dog company, otherwise the poor dog will be lonely. And meanwhile, you're feeding the dog with the slaughtered cows who are tortured all their lives and then summarily executed. So, all right, now someone introduced a bill and we made life better for the dogs. Well, apart from the ongoing problems of birth, death, old age and disease, which dogs also suffer from, which there's nothing you can do to stop that. Then, what about the cows? What about the cats? What about... And then you try to protect some species. You can protect the species so there's some species which is becoming extinct doesn't become extinct. But, you know, still those animals which are not extinct, I mean, they don't know anything about what it means to be extinct or not extinct anyway. And still they have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And there are innumerable problems. Innumerable. You try to crack down on the crime, and then you get the problem that the prisons are overcrowded, and you know what to do with all the prison. Then the taxpayers have to pay so much money for so many prisons. And the example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam of trying to solve a problem, material problems. It's like you're carrying a heavy burden on one shoulder and you just shift it to the other shoulder, that's all. And you feel some relief on this shoulder, but then the other shoulder becomes painful from the weight. So there is no solution. The only solution is Krishna consciousness. And even with a perfectly pious king like Yudhishthira Maharaj, it doesn't mean that there won't be any problems. It's stated here that the people, the situation was so good, the material miseries were minimized practically to zero. But to attain that position, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to oversee the slaughter of so many people. And he himself felt very distressed by that. So, what to do? And even if you introduce the Varnashram system as well as possible, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, because Varnashram is a system to regulate imperfection. There's no system needed. Systems are only needed because people want to exploit others. Otherwise, in the Satya Yoga, there was no Varnashram, because everyone was a Paramahamsa, and there was hardly any organization of society. Everyone was just like a rishi, and they were living very simply, and there was no need to organize society. Hardly there was any need. So the Varnashram is to guide people to act in a manner that their higher propensities are cultivated and their lower propensities are not indulged in. And in modern society we have just exactly the opposite, isn't it? The lower propensities are encouraged. Just like, for instance, maybe you saw some advertisement as we were driving the other night here in Detroit. I saw an advertisement for a gambling casino. Seems there's a lot of gambling casinos in Detroit, is it? Maybe more than other cities. guide people to act in a manner that their higher propensities are cultivated and their lower propensities are not indulged in. And in modern society, we have just exactly the opposite, isn't it? The lower propensities are encouraged. Just like, for instance, maybe you saw some advertisement as we were driving the other night here in Detroit. I saw an advertisement for a gambling casino. It seems there's a lot of gambling casinos in Detroit, is it? Maybe more than other cities. Is it banned in other states, or why is that? People come from Canada, is it, for gambling? Is that the reason? Or? Hmm? Oh, I see. What's the reason?
They were banned here until recently.
They were banned here till recently. So they're... Oh, they used to go to Windsor, so they thought, keep the money here. It's round the other way. So anyway, the advertisement for that was the greatest fun you can have with your trousers on. So they're just encouraging. And this Las Vegas, it's famous for gambling and prostitution. Isn't it? That's,
Sin City.
Sin City, yeah. Even the people who go there, they take pleasure. Yes, I'm sinful. So they're encouraging the lower propensities, and there's absolutely no encouragement for the higher propensities. They don't even know what the higher propensities are. Even the so-called religious people they may be against gambling and abortion, but they think it's very religious and very good to pray to God before eating their steak, beefsteak. They don't know. Anartho pasamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksa jay lokas ya janato vidvans chakri sadvata samhitam. People don't know that only by the process of bhakti yoga to the transcendent Lord can all the anarthas, unwanted things in human life, be mitigated. Therefore, to give knowledge, the required knowledge, the knowledge of what is actually required in human society, Vyasadeva, the learned Vyasadeva, compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a painting that was painted for the first American edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, to illustrate the verse Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyan Adivisaha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Puranar Kod Nodhitaha. That Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has returned to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. But there's still hope, because persons who have lost their vision due to the darkness of Kali Yuga will get light from this Bhagavat Purana. So there's a painting was commissioned to go with that verse, showing the vices of Kali Yuga. And the main color of the picture is blue-black. And within that it's shown people having illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, animal slaughter. And there, holding up the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Vyasadeva with the light shining down from it. I believe it's a takeoff of the film The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston, with holding up the Ten Commandments, and the light is coming down from them like this. So, actually, it's a fact. The Ten Commandments are there, but which are good, but the complete knowledge of the Absolute Truth is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like among the Ten Commandments, one that Lord Jesus emphasizes, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But they didn't work out that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself means that not only human beings but animals also. Not that I love my neighbor and I kill the cows. There are literally millions of animals slaughtered every day in this country, if you include all the chickens. Literally millions. A few months ago in India, there was an outbreak of bird flu. I don't know if you're aware of what that is. Some kind of infection or that hit the chickens. So the government order came to slaughter the chickens. They can't be distributed for eating because they're infectious. So it came a report that lakhs, namely hundreds and thousands of chickens were killed. And devotees said, oh, that's very strange. I see they killed hundreds of thousands of chickens. But they were going to be killed anyway. It's not that because they had bird flu that they were killed. Anyway, they would have been killed. They were killed ahead of time, you could say. But anyway, they were destined to be slaughtered. There's hardly a chicken in the world that is born that dies a natural death. And there are millions of chickens in the world, and they're all slaughtered. So, literally millions of animals are slaughtered every day. That's serious accumulation of sinful reactions is going on. But people think it's normal, it's nice. They have advertisements, I don't know if they still show, but they used to have advertisements of hamburgers growing from flower patches. Do they still have that advertisement? McDonald's used to have this advertisement. They'd show the flowers, and then hamburgers come from flowers. But they don't come from flowers. They come from nasty, cruel, bloody animal slaughter. The animals are screaming. They keep the slaughterhouse away from the towns, isn't it? You won't find in the center of Detroit any slaughterhouse away from the town. Because the animals, they scream. Especially pigs. The pigs that are being taken for slaughter, they sound like children actually screaming. Recently in Baroda, I heard this scream. I was in ISKCON Baroda, in the corner of the grounds, I have a little hut, and there's a wall next to that, and over the wall is some open space, and then some apartment buildings. Baroda is a city in India. So I heard this screaming, so I looked up over, it sounded like some child was screaming. What it was, the pigs, who they allow them to roam here and there, the people who own the pigs. And when they want to slaughter it, they catch it. So this pig was caught, and they're strong, and they make a, you know, they try to get away, but he was caught. He had this noose around his neck, and he was screaming and screaming because he knew that this is it. Now I'm finished. He could understand. Now they're going to cut my throat. So they keep the slaughter a long way away. These slaughterhouses. Otherwise, there's the screaming of the animals, the stench. Slaughterhouses stink. Very bad smell. And then there's so much blood is produced, but they don't show. You go in the supermarket and you see some nicely wrapped bacon in a plastic container, in a pack with plastic covering. You think, oh, very nice. Very tasty. Very nourishing. Very sinful. People don't know. So what kind of rulers are there? Are they who preside over this? You know, it's saying, we say, well, this politician is good. Good? How are they good? If they're anyone, we may say conventionally, we may say, this person is good, this person is nice. But we should know that if they're engaged in animal slaughter, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, it's not at all a good situation. People, they may not know. We have to inform them. That is the duty of devotees. This temple, Prabhupada had, he saw this. Prabhupada was so happy that you have this facility. This is a perfect facility for bringing all leaders. And Prabhupada spoke with many leaders and he spoke to them straightforwardly. He sat them down comfortably, treated them nicely, treated them respectfully. You should respect people who have position. We don't disrespect them. Someone has a position as the mayor of the city or professor or something. We should respect them. They've got that position. That's some kind of gift from God. In one way, we see that Sanatana Goswami, he respected Nawab Hussain Shah, even though he was a despot and a cow-killer. So he may respect them, but we should teach them, tell them that you have this position. Now you should utilize that to improve human society. There cannot be any actual welfare for human society as long as animal slaughter is allowed within the state. Animal slaughter, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, not only allowed, but encouraged, promoted by the government. Most of the state governments run lotteries, isn't it? It's gambling. Even I've seen in the, sometimes there's some, in one temple I was in recently, ISKCON Temple, they were advertising some festival with, and one of the attractions was raffles. Raffles is also a form of gambling. Even if the money goes to the temple, and even if the prize is some picture of Krishna, it's a non-Vaishnava activity. Raffles means gambling. Prabhupada said even crossword puzzles are gambling. He was so strict about that. So, there's some thoughts for the day. This temple is meant for better situation than at present. Actually, the whole city should appreciate. Here's Krishna. He's a black boy. He's got a white girlfriend. Prabhupada said that in one place. Well, in Paris, when he went there, he said that Prabhupada would often say that France is famous for its women, so he said that Krishna has come to Paris to get his girlfriend here. He's talking about Radha Parisishvara. He gave the names of the deities. So people may see like that. Of course, that is external vision. I heard that one black-bodied, I'm not sure what the present polite term is, African-American, the polite term changes all the time because the polite term after some time becomes a derogatory term. So, one black-bodied devotee said to Prabhupada, I heard this, Krishna was black, and Prabhupada said, yeah, but not like you. He also said to Dhaga Muni Prabhu that you are a white aborigine. This white-black business, I think it must be quite prominent in Detroit. The population is, 50-50 or something like that. Blacks and whites, I don't know. I can't say exactly. Prabhupada taught us to transcend that. What a great gift! If we can transcend bodily designations and live together to serve Krishna. What a great gift we have to give to human society, the knowledge how to live relatively peacefully in this world, happily in this world, and go to Krishna. So, we pray to Radha Kunja Bihari Bhagavan that Prabhupada's dream for America will lead the world in Krishna consciousness. We pray for the fulfillment of that. And it can be. It can be. Many people are open to this message. Very much open. It's really up to the devotees to deliver that message and live according to that message. This movement can really flourish in America again. Even in a short time, it can become. very prominent. I'm quite sure of that, judging by the willingness of the public to accept it. They're much more willing than they were when Prabhupada was here, actually. So, that's it. Thoughts for the day. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Any question? Looks like everyone's rushing off to work. Okay, it's all right. I've got plenty of things to do also. All right, I'll leave it there. Yeah, question.
My son was one night, we were here late at night, and kind of a game, black men came in to kind of play, or, you know, be disrespectful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he, my son gave us a shot and brought him in here to see the meeting. And the one person looked at Krishna and started almost crying, and he said, that's my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Krishna is very powerful. We can invite local people. Please come. Show them around individually. I mean, there are so many things that can be done. Just invite. Please come with maybe 5 families at a time, something like that. Give them prasadam. You don't have to do any heavy preaching to them. Like that. Charity begins at home. It's a suggestion.
I've heard devotees say, I'm not sure where it comes from, but we can also consider wasting time in idle things to be gambling, like breaking the
regular physical gambling, like... I think I heard something like that. Well, Prabhupada said he included in gambling idle sports, frivolous activities. Sometimes he included that also, yeah. And I mean, it's quite clear Prabhupada didn't encourage watching TV, and there's no... Where's the question, really? If we're actually interested in cultivating Krishna consciousness, I mean, there was no question when Prabhupada was here watching TV. We just didn't even think about it. We laughed at the thought. How did it become popular among devotees to watch TV? I mean, even people, even non-devotees, who are someone who's absorbed in some scientific research or something like this, or someone who's like interested in cultured music or something like this, they don't watch these nonsense things on TV. They have a higher level of maya than watching TV. It's very low class, actually. I mean, if you're going to be in maya, there are far more cultured ways of being in maya than watching TV. But why, when we have Srimad Bhagavatam, why cultivate the mode of ignorance? Doesn't make any sense. I can't understand. I can't understand it at all, actually. It's maybe because I'm what's called a dinosaur. You know, it's like a species that should have been extinct a long time ago. So they said. They probably want to kill Vyasadeva. He spoke a long time ago, so his message is out of date. Now there's this theory Prabhupada was poisoned and killed and all this, which I never subscribe to. Who can say? I mean, anyone can say anything. I don't have any proof that Prabhupada wasn't poisoned by his disciples, but it just seems just far too unlikely to be true. But then, even if it was true, then more serious is poisoning his teaching. If it's all right all of a sudden for devotees to watch TV and not follow the 4 regulated principles, and That's even more serious, isn't it? That's poison.
I just want to mention in regards to you're saying that people are receptive to this message.
Yeah, so much.
My first one moved, my mother was, just put it differently, wasn't exactly.
She wasn't thrilled. Your mother wasn't thrilled when you joined the movement. She was much against it, it would appear. Yeah.
She told me a month ago, she said, now she says, you know, she put it to the Christian consciousness group, she says, you guys are on the cutting edge. You were talking about reincarnation, vegetarianism, all these different things many, many years ago.
That's a fact, isn't it?
And now everybody's interested in this.
Yeah, the things that people are taking interest in now, vegetarianism, reincarnation, higher consciousness. Consciousness studies has come up as a subject in the school. But we're missing the boat, actually. I mean, we should be leading in all these fields, but we're not. There's so many things. Diorama exhibitions, Prabhupada had this idea. That idea was taken up by some bogus sampradaya in India and they made such a success of it. So many things. I mean, we still have the best things, and if we tune into it, we have the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada. So we can still make the... Others can talk, you know, they talk about reincarnation, this, that. They don't have any idea about it. Bhakti Charu Maharaj told me a few years ago that he was invited to attend a conference, international conference in Switzerland about reincarnation. And all world authorities were there, including Dalai Lama. But it was obvious to everyone that they didn't really have any idea about what they were talking. And that when Bhakti Charu Maharaj told me this, not in a puffed up way, because he's not puffed up at all. But he said it was obvious to everyone that when I started speaking that I knew, I had actual knowledge, and they didn't actually know anything. So we have the knowledge. So we should transcend our pettiness and arise to meet